For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
So tonight we're looking at redeemed from destruction. Praise the Lord. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we commit this word to you. We thank you, Lord, that you are present by your Spirit. And Father, we ask that you show us from your word the truths that we need to know so that we can walk in the redemption blessings that have been provided by you. And we praise you, Lord, for that. And we believe we receive that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. So tonight we're looking at redeemed from destruction, and so I believe we need to, when we're looking at this area, understand a bit about redemption and see that redemption is has a purchase attached to it. Now there's obviously a debt, there is a payment that's made, and there's someone that makes the payment. And so let's have a look, first of all, at Leviticus 25, verse 25, just to see an example of a redemption here. And you can see in this one, it's a financial redemption. And you may know also that if you put something in hock, to redeem it, in other words, you now owe something. To redeem it, you'll have to pay some money. Okay. Now we're looking at Leviticus 25, verse 25. Leviticus 25, and we'll look at verse 25. And note what it says here. If thy brother be waxen poor, and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. So you can see that it's very similar to what I mentioned about the hock. He sold away something of his possession, but he wants that back. Well, obviously there is a debt that's owed, and one of his kin come to redeem it, that is to purchase it back, and you could see that he can redeem that which his brother sold. So it's a transaction of something that's owed and a payment made, and someone makes that payment. So if you understand redemption in that sense, we see the financial sense here, and is even used in today's society in that financial sense as well, then you can start to understand the redemption that's provided by the Lord Jesus Christ, in that those in sin owe a debt because the wages of sin is death. And there's nothing that men and women can do to pay off that debt. Okay, there is an eternal debt, and so there has to be something that is paid that is eternally valuable. And of course we know that to be the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so the purchaser is God himself, who has bought us, and we have been bought with a price, the Bible tells us. So this is a very serious transaction in God's eyes. And so nothing to be ignored. And in fact, the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ has made, the payment of his blood, is not to be ignored by mankind. It's a very, very serious thing that has happened. If you have a look at Ephesians 1 verse 7, Ephesians 1 verse 7, so we're very clear about redemption. If we don't understand this, then when we talk about redeemed from destruction, we might think, oh, that's a small thing, when in fact it's quite a big thing. And we know that scripture that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. The more we understand about redemption and the fact that there's been that, as the Bible says, the precious blood of the Lamb, precious, it calls the blood of Christ precious, it should be precious in our eyes as well. And this is something which I believe many are not understanding, because they don't understand what has been paid for by Christ and what he's done. Ephesians 1, and we'll look at verse 7. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption, how? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So the Bible's very clear, we have redemption through his blood. If you have a look at chapter 2, verse 1, you see what the state that we were in. In Ephesians 2, verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." So we were in a state of eternal separation from God. We're in a state of separation, dead in trespasses and sins. And it's only through that redemption that we have it now, because we've received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, and we have that redemption through his blood. So there's been a purchased redemption on our behalf, and the Bible tells us that it was God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God prepared the body of the Lord Jesus Christ so that there was that pure blood flowing through the Lord Jesus Christ, which was then shed for us for the remission of sins, the Bible says, the cancellation of our sin debt. And when we see that, we see that redemption is paid for, and the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, once and for all. If we look at Hebrews 9, verse 12, let's have a look at that. Hebrews 9, verse 12, we see that it's been paid for. And this is not just a redemption that has a lasting value for a few years, or as we know in the Old Testament, was the blood of animals. Was payment for 1 year, but then of course that payment didn't extend beyond that, and every year there had to be that continual sacrifice of blood. But we know that in Hebrews 9 verse 12 it talks about a particular thing called redemption, and calls it eternal redemption. It says in verse 12, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Eternal redemption, and that means eternal life is for us as well. So as far as God is concerned, the payment of the blood is eternal, and that eternal redemption for us. So when we think of redemption through Christ, we should be thinking of that wonderful payment that's been made, payment of his blood, and we can see here the blood is mentioned once again in verse 12. "But by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." And this is so very important, because if we see that that the Lord Jesus Christ has done this once, and it's been done forever, that's something to realize, that our redemption is not just a small thing, it's a big thing. For example, if you look in Hebrews 9 verse 28, it says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." So you see, he was once offered to bear the sins of many, and that includes you and me. And obviously we need to, and we have, if you've been born again, mankind needs to believe on him and receive him. And of course, by doing so, they can get that eternal life, that eternal redemption. Glory to God. Also look at 1 Corinthians 1, verses 27 to 31. So I'm laying a bit of a foundation tonight so that when we come to looking at what are some of the benefits of our redemption, we're not looking at it in a temporal type of way, but we're looking at it, okay, I have redemption now, and so I know that I can appropriate that redemption throughout my life, because eternal life started when I was born again, praise God. It doesn't start when you're dead and go to heaven. It starts when you're born again. Praise the Lord. So looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 27 to 31 here. 1 Corinthians 1, 27 to 31. And let's see what Christ has made unto us. Verse 27, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." So our very life, our very identity is in the Lord now. And notice what Christ has made unto us. He's made unto us wisdom. So our source of wisdom is through him. Righteousness, our source of righteousness is through him. Sanctification, our source of sanctification is through him. And redemption, our source of redemption, that eternal redemption we've been talking about, is through him as well. Glory to God. So let's have a look at some of the things that redemption now gives us now that we're born again, whilst we're on the earth and going into eternity. Glory to God. So let's look, first of all, at Psalm 103. We'll look at the first four verses there in Psalm 103. So now that we've been bought with that price, bought with a price, the Bible says of us, now that we've been bought with a price, we have come into Christ, and we now have salvation. And that price that was paid has purchased every blessing of salvation. Every blessing of salvation is now ours. And that's something to remember, because we don't have a small salvation. We have what we call a full salvation. And that's what we talk about when we talk about the full gospel. The full gospel talks about the full redemption benefits in that salvation. Glory to God. So Psalm 103, we'll start from verse 1. We know it well, but we should remember it well every day. And it's a good thing to put into your heart and mind. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." And we could go on there. We see that clearly in the benefits of God and the blessings of God being provided. And if it's not in redemption, where is it? If it's not in that eternal redemption, if it's not in that salvation that's been provided, where is it? Well, the answer is blessing is in salvation. Blessing has been bought by that redemption. So we see forgiveness of all your iniquities. And for us, it's remission of sin. It's a cancellation of that sin debt completely. Who healeth all thy diseases. So there's healing. But you know, the Bible also talks about that God's will is for us to have divine health, even as your soul prospers. And here, your soul prospers if you're not forgetting his benefits, but you're having a look at what the scriptures are saying, meditating God's word, and so on. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Well, if you think about what can destroy people, the Bible says the destruction of the poor is their poverty, for example. So clearly, poverty must be under this category. He redeemeth thy life from destruction. And we know that our life is affected by the curse, or has been affected by the curse, but Christ was made a curse for us. Now, where is that curse attached? Is the curse attached to salvation, or is it attached to sin? Well, it's clearly attached to sin, isn't it? And the judgment upon sin. So that curse is attached to the sin. We are now connected to salvation through the redemption of Christ for us. And we see that now we have a life that's been redeemed from destruction. Obviously, sickness and disease would be under that category of destructive things as well. You can think of other things such as accidents and so on, afflictions, etc., would be under that. So all suffering connected with the curse. Now, I've got to temper this a little bit because the Bible talks about suffering persecution, okay? But God does not expect us to be suffering as a result of the curse because we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We'll read that in a minute. But I just want to show us a few scriptures around redemption. So redeemeth thy life from destruction is a very important thing to hold in your heart. My life's been redeemed from destruction. I don't have to be a person who is being destroyed. I can receive of what God has provided. I can receive deliverance and strength and health and prosperity and so on. So we should be people, as it says in verse 2, not forgetting his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. So keeping his benefits in your mind, in your heart, and eating of his word regarding what it's saying in this line as well. Have a look at Psalm 34, verse 22. Psalm 34, verse 22. So we see there's the redemption is for the whole man, spirit, soul, and body, okay? The whole man. It's not just his spirit, where you've been made a new creature in Christ, and you know, you have a pure spirit, that which is born of the spirit of spirit, and so you are heaven bound, but you're on the earth now. You have to go right through this wicked earth and come out, you know, do things for the Lord. He expects us to do things. He talks about created unto good works. He expects us to be doing things for him. So at the end of our life, we can say, well, we've been sons and daughters that serve the Lord. And there is a reward attached to that, as we know, at the judgment seat of Christ. Looking at Psalm 34, verse 22, let's look at that one. Verse 22, it says, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. So if you think about the mind, will, and emotions, the devil is targeting many people in this area of the soul, okay? And remember that our life is redeemed from destruction. And that includes our soul. He redeemeth the soul of his servants. He doesn't want you tormented in your soul. He wants you to have peace. God wants you to have peace. He wants you to trust in him. And it says there, none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Well, there's a lot of desolate people around. There's many people ending their own lives because they're desolate. They've been tormented in their soul. But you know, that shouldn't be us, because we're one of his servants. We're servants of righteousness. And he's redeemed our soul as well. So redemption includes our soul, includes our mind, will and emotions. And we can be surrounded by trouble all around us, but you know, we can trust in him. We can say, well, you know, the devil can send thoughts. You know that he's doing that. You know that he's targeting men and women's souls, because if he can get into your thought life, if he can get you fearing and worrying and dwelling on all the wrong things, he can take you away from what we saw in Psalm 103, where you're not forgetting all his benefits. He can take you away from that so that you're thinking on all the wrong things and not trusting in God. But that's not what God wants for you. He wants you to realize that you have redemption for your soul. Okay, you've got redemption for your soul. The soul does not have to be desolate, does not have to be destroyed or tormented. And as we know, fear, and this is the fear of evil, fear hath torment. Okay, so remembering our life, he redeemeth thy life from destruction. Our lives are redeemed from destruction. Have a look at Psalm 107 verse 2. Psalm 107 verse 2. Now, I've talked a bit about the fact that there's the enemy out there. We are not living on a neutral planet. We're living on a planet where there's the presence of evil, there's the presence of the devil and his minions. And we know that, you know, because we're right here in the midst of sin and evil and so on, we have to be firm in standing in what the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for. We have to be people, as the Bible says, to be strong in the power of his might. We need to be taking hold of his might into our life, his strength and so on. But here's a good thing to say if you're a redeemed person. And I believe I'm talking to redeemed people now. Is that right?
Amen.
Yes, you're redeemed. And listen to what it says here. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Praise the Lord. We can say, I am redeemed. I am redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Praise the Lord. You're redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You don't have to be suffering at the hands of devils or people used by the devil. Okay, you're redeemed from the hand of the enemy. In fact, the Bible says, if a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. God will get involved. And that's the important thing to understand. God is with you. In fact, the book of Hebrews says that he is our helper. He is our helper, and he's always with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He is our helper. He's with us. He's with us. Jesus said that he'd be with us even to the end of the world. And so let's have a proper perspective of our Christian walk. That's why I emphasized redemption and the eternal nature of our redemption right from the beginning, so that we can see that God saw it as valuable. God has invested his precious blood, okay? He's given his precious blood. He's paid for eternal redemption. Okay, this is not fantasy, this is reality. Because when you die, you go into heaven, okay? And then God has other plans for you into eternity. Now, what you do now on the earth matters. There's no doubt about that. There's many, many scriptures that talk about that. So if people ignore the redemption of Christ or belittle it, they're not going to be... How can I say this? God does not see it as a light thing. Okay? He does not see the payment of the blood of Christ as a light thing. And neither should we. We should say, thank you, Lord, you have redeemed me by the precious blood of Jesus. Glory to God. So let me just read verse 2 again. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And you should be saying, I am redeemed. I am redeemed, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I am redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Good thing to put into your heart, good thing to put into your mouth. Okay, I'm all for daily meditation on the word, daily confession of the word. I'm all for that. All for that. If you believe the word, you should have it in your heart and you should be speaking it. That's what the spirit of faith is all about. Okay, so just a few more things I want to go through because this is really important. Really important. Let's have a look at Psalm 120 verse 8. Psalm 120 verse 8. We've already mentioned this. Now we'll go to Galatians 3 verses 10 to 14. Galatians 3, 10 to 14. We've already mentioned this about Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And I want us to see this. We've looked at this scripture many times before. But now we should be understanding that the purchase that was paid by the Lord Jesus Christ is an eternal redemption that's been given to us. And we'll start from verse 10 and we'll go to verse 14 of Galatians 3. This is 10 to verse 14. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So you see that the law of God was there to show basically that man was in a fallen condition and needed salvation. And so we see that there is a curse attached to that because man in a fallen condition cannot keep in his own strength, cannot keep the all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But do you know we have Christ in our heart now? And I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So we're not in that category of being under the curse. Verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So you can see that now we have faith in Christ, and his faith sustains us as well as we walk by faith. Okay. Verse 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us. So you know what that word redeemed means? He's made a payment. It's a payment made. We're no longer under the curse. Redeemed us from the curse of the law. If you're under the curse, you're what we saw before. In Ephesians, dead in trespasses and sins. And there is an eternal payment that needs to be made because it's an eternal debt. Okay? I mean, if it wasn't an eternal debt, then people could say, well, you know, if I spend 100 years in hell, I'll be able to pay my debt off. Well, that's not the case, is it? Because it's an eternal debt that needs to be paid. It was paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. That's a significant statement. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. How? Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And of course, the promise of the Spirit starts with us being born again. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And it's through faith in Christ, coming into that blessing and out of the curse, because we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We don't have time to go into it, but we do know that under that curse, according... Oh, perhaps we'll have a look at one part. Have a look at Deuteronomy 28. But in Deuteronomy 28, it goes through all types of aspects of the curse of the law. And in it you can see poverty, you can see affliction, you can see disease, and you can see destruction all through that. So we can see that redemption must include us being redeemed from that curse. And this is very important for us to see that our lives are redeemed from destruction. We've been redeemed from destruction. Glory to God. So we're looking at Deuteronomy 28, and we've looked at this many times before, but I'll just have a look at one part of this in Deuteronomy 28, and that is verses 59 to 61. Deuteronomy 28, 59 to 61. 59, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues and long continuous and sore sicknesses and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Let me just say, this is what the curse of the law is about, because that's what is connected to sin. And God must judge sin as a righteous judge. Okay? Verse 61. And every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. So you can see in the book of the law, under the curse of the law, is every sickness and every plague. Okay? So you can see what was listed in Deuteronomy 28, and also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law is under that curse as well. So that means that our healing and health has been paid for, our prosperity has been paid for, our deliverance has been paid for. Okay. Our lives are indeed redeemed from destruction. So as we said before, we are redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We are redeemed from destruction. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. And we should not be forgetting the redemption benefits that are in salvation, but keeping them in mind. Glory to God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus. Thank you for paying that wonderful price of the precious blood of Christ. We praise you and thank you, Lord, that we are indeed redeemed people. And we thank you. We thank you. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We are appreciative. And we thank you, Lord, for what you've done and continuing to do that. That beautiful and wonderful things in our life. And Father, we commit ourselves to being people that remember, that keep in mind the benefits that you've given, that have been paid for, not through our own works, but by what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and paid for.